been really neat. Today I walked around, and I knew what the women's ministry was all about, and I knew what they were going to be doing. Matter of fact, I've been watching them do it all week, okay? I knew the men's ministry was going to plug in and help, and I knew there were going to be some deacons that plugged in and helped, and man, that kitchen was smelling great this morning, men's ministry, thank you. It was pretty, and it smelled good, and there was a lot of people in there, and then I get to see the children's ministry and the student ministry, and you know, what's really neat is to see how God puts us all together to do what we're called to do in our areas of ministry, but it all comes together, and we can give him glory in it. We can give him honor in it. So I'm just so thankful as a pastor to see our ministry teams come together and do what they do. And listen, it's not just Mother's Day. I know today is Mother's Day, and it's easy for us to see all of that happen, but this happens every day. This happens every week, our ministry teams just coming together and wanting to glorify God, wanting to give their best to God. You know, I thought about mom. I thought about that word mom and what it means. Did you know that mom turned upside down is wow? Now, for some of us, like husbands who see the moms doing what they do, we're like, wow, you're amazing. Now, for some children here, they're like, wow, really, mom? Like, you can use that wow however you want. But moms, when you're turned upside down, you're still pretty cool, and you're still pretty powerful. And so this morning, I really have this opportunity to give God praise and give God's glory and give God thanks because of moms. I want to honor our moms today. I want to celebrate our moms today. And listen, I realize that in this place, we have some who are birth moms. We have some who are stepmoms. We have some who are bonus moms. And we even have some, listen, I don't pretend to understand, you know, God sometimes calls a man and a woman together and we call it marriage. And sometimes God has a path for us and it's called singleness. And sometimes God in marriages opens up a lady's womb and she's able to birth children. And sometimes God keeps that womb closed and sometimes ladies aren't able to birth children. But here's the thing, God is good all the time. And God's plans are perfect, and they are right. Even when we don't understand it, we can say, okay, God, we love you, and we thank you, and we honor you, and we glorify you. So I don't know which role you're in today. Maybe you're one of those moms that I listed, okay? Today's message is really going to be for you, but here's the thing. Dads, children, Christ followers, this is a message that really applies to us all. Every one of us in this room, we can go to this scripture today and we can look at it and we can say, okay, this is for me. But since it's Mother's Day, I really want you to perk your ears up, ladies, because I'm talking to you, okay? And we just get to listen, guys. We get to listen, everybody. So I want to encourage you with a passage of scripture that is incredible. We're going to take a break from our series on 1 Samuel, but I really believe that this passage today has everything to do with every other passage in the Bible. As a matter of fact, this passage that we're going to be in today, it's a passage that Jesus quoted in the New Testament. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He quoted this passage. So I want you to go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 in the Old Testament, that's where we're going to be. In today's devotional message, now this is, I've read this, you know, 3 or 4 years in a row now, and so this morning when I opened up my book, I was like, wow, I've got to make sure this is in my message. So in today's devotional message, May the 12th from New Morning Mercies, this is what Paul David Tripp said. He said, we are hardwired to live for God. So even though we may not be aware of it, every good thing or bad thing we do has verticality to it. Now, you might say, Brother Jeff, what does that have to do with Mother's Day? It doesn't have anything to do with just Mother's Day, but I will say this. All of us, we were created by God, and we were created for God. And God created us male and female. He created us individually, and he created us with responsibilities and with purposes. And all of us have different purposes, and we have different plans, and we have different ways, and we have different things that we've been gifted to do. But when it all comes down to it, I agree with Paul David Tripp. Every one of us, regardless male or female, regardless of whether we serve in the church or serve in the school or serve in the cotton field or serve in the bank or serve in the doctor's office, every one of us, we have been hardwired by God to live for God. Every one of us, I believe that. And so moms, today, I want you to focus right now on your relationship with God. That is what I would like to call a vertical relationship. People say this all the time. When you look at the cross, it represents two relationships. Vertical, the up and down is me and God. And then the horizontal is me and others. So moms, today, I want you to really focus on that vertical relationship. Why would I say that? Because there will not be any other relationship that is right until that one is. If you're not right with God, you can't be right with your spouse. You can't be right with your children. You can't be right with anyone. It starts with your relationship with God. I want you to know that. And so I pray today that you have a relationship with God. And if you don't, I'm going to show you in Scripture how you can. Okay? Because God has done everything that needs to be done for you to be right with Him. And He accomplished that through Jesus Christ. You know, earlier we were talking about, we were singing these songs, and I saw that word failure. And then I saw that word grace. And it reminded me of another thing that I read. I know I got one lady in here that loves Bob Goff. I think I might have some other people in here who've read some Bob Goff books. He wrote Love Does. Well, listen to what Bob Goff says. Bob Goff says this. He says, don't let failure take you out of God's grace. Don't let failure take you out of God's grace. So you may be sitting here today and you may be saying, there's no way for me to be right with God. I've blown it. Brother Jeff, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You may be sitting here today and you're separated from your family because of sin or because of failure or because of fight, whatever you want to call it. You may say, it's over for me. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't over, because God's grace is greater than all of your failure, than all of your sin, than all of your faults. So moms, if you're in here today and you're sitting here and you're feeling like a failure, let me just tell you something. God don't want you leaving this place feeling that way. If you leave this place feeling that way, it's because you chose that. God's grace covers all of your sin. It covers all of your faults. It covers all of your failures. So bathe today. Bathe in God's grace. It is good. It is good. It is good. And so I want to talk to you today like I'm talking to my mom. I want to talk to you today maybe like I'm talking to my wife, who is the mother of my children, right? I want to talk to you like this. I walked in my office just a few days ago, and when I walked in my office, I have this board, and it's a calendar, but for me, it's a countdown calendar, okay? And so it's a countdown calendar for my next races. So I've got a race coming up, a marathon in October. I've got a marathon coming up in December. And so I go in there, and I erase the day, and I mark it down. Well, I went in there the other day, and I saw this message, and it said, "Hey, Dad." And it was one of my kids that wrote me a message on my board. And it was encouraging, but it was also one of those things that was challenging. And then it reminded me of my kids in the house. You know what? When they want mama's attention, do you know what they say? They say, "Hey, mom." And they say it louder than I just said it. And sometimes it's good, and sometimes mama's going out the back door to get away. But anyway, that's the whole, I'll let her preach that message, okay? I'm not going to try to step on her feet today. But I thought about those words, right? When I saw that message, it said, "Hey, Dad," I started thinking about those words, "Hey, Mom." And I started remembering how many times I said to my mom, "Hey, Mom. Hey, Mom." I wanted her attention. So, Mom, today, I want your attention. And more than anything, I believe God wants your attention. So I want to tell you something that's very important. I hope you already know this. I hope your husbands, I hope your children have already told you this. "Hey, Mom, motherhood is a gift from God." It is a gift. And what you should do with that gift is you should glorify God with it. If it's a gift from God, it's not a gift that you're supposed to just take and bottle up and keep for yourself. It's a gift from God, and you're supposed to use it to give Him glory. So, hey, Mom, motherhood is a gift. Now you take that gift and you glorify God with it. And I believe this is important because we can see it in the Scripture. Now, you might say, well, Brother Jeff, how am I supposed to glorify God with motherhood? Like, that's the question, right? How can I glorify God with this gift called motherhood? Because, Brother Jeff, you ain't been at my house in the morning when I'm trying to get the kids ready for school, right? Or, Brother Jeff, you ain't sitting by me right now with a baby that won't shut up while you're trying to preach. Hey, listen to me. Them babies don't bother me at all. I love to hear their voices. I know you squirm and you worry about them, but I don't. And I promise you the people in front of you or behind you don't, and if they do, they can leave. Uh-oh. Hey, listen. How many perfect moms do we have in this place? Oh, listen to me. Husbands and children, I just set you up. You should have said, right here. I gave you a chance. And you didn't take advantage of it. But here's the truth. There's not a perfect mom in this place. There's not. There's not a perfect mom in this place. As perfect as I think mine is, and as perfect as I think my wife is a mom to my children, they're not perfect. I know that. They know that. You know that. That's why God's grace is so good. Amen? Didn't I say that just a few moments ago? Listen to me. Don't let your failures take you out of God's grace. Bathe in God's grace. This is so good. How can I glorify God in motherhood? You ready? Here it is. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. This passage is known as the Shema, which means in Hebrew to hear, to listen. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." So the question is, well, let's start out with a statement. The statement is, motherhood is a gift from God, and moms, hey, mom, you should glorify God with that gift. So the question is, Brother Jeff, how can I glorify God with the gift of motherhood? How can I glorify God as a mom, as a mother? Well, here it is. You ready? It's a three-step process. Number one, hey, mom, devote yourself to the Lord. That's where it starts. If you want to glorify God with your life, if you want to glorify God through motherhood, you have to devote yourself to the Lord. That word devote, it means to choose or to commit by a solemn action. So when we think about devotion, it's more than just me sitting here thinking about it in my mind. No, it's to commit with solemn action. In other words, if I'm going to devote myself to the Lord, it means I'm going to think about it, yes, but I'm going to put the wheels in motion, right? I'm going to get my feet moving. I'm going to get my hands moving. I'm going to get my heart pumping. It's an action. So devote yourselves to the Lord. It also means this. It's where we get our word devout. Right? That's a churchy word, a religious word. It means devout. And so, mom, we want you today to make a commitment, right, to God. We want you to commit yourself to the Lord as His creation first. This is where it starts. Listen to me. As hard as this may sound, you were not created for your spouse. You were not created for your children. You were created for God. That's where it starts. You were created for God. If He called you into marriage, He blessed you with a spouse. If He called you into motherhood, it's because He opened your womb and allowed you to have children. Or if He called you into motherhood like a stepmom, or even gave you the opportunity to be a bonus mom, it's because He called you to that. But you belong to God. As much as I love my wife, she does not belong to me. She belongs to God, and God has brought us together, and I'm so thankful for that. And so devote yourself to the Lord. You are His daughter. You are His daughter. You are His child. And this should have a profound impact upon who you are and how you live your life. And yes, it starts in your home. Your commitment to God should be based on His love for you and your love in return to Him. And love is best expressed through action. Through action. As a matter of fact, I love this. This is what theologian Dr. Eugene Merrill says. He said, love is best expressed through obedient decision and behavior. Obedient decision and behavior. So obedience, it starts with your mind, but then it flows through your heart and into your actions. And listen to what he says. He says, obedience is construed as love. To obey is to love God with every aspect and element of one's being. And to be certain, as Christ followers, our obedience is not a form of legalistic compliance. It is our loving response to God's love and God's grace. That's good. So, Mom, if you want to glorify God, if you want to glorify God in motherhood, it starts with your devotion to Him. Devote yourself to the Lord. And then, hey, Mom, embrace the Lord's word in your heart. Embrace the Lord's word in your heart. I listened to some of the scriptures that were shared this morning in the Mother's Day breakfast. Listen, I walked by and Sunday school classes, what were you doing? You were teaching the word of God. You opened up the word of God and you were speaking the word of God. Listen to me, moms, if you want to glorify God, it starts with your devotion to the Lord, but you have to embrace the Lord's word in your heart. This week, Molly came into my office and she walked out and I said, hey, Molly, you know, because I was practicing my hey, Mom, but she's not my mom. So I said, hey, Molly. All right. So she turned around and came back and she said, what? And here's what I asked her. I said, I'm going to say a word. And when I say this word, I want you to respond to me immediately what's on your mind, what you think. So I said, embrace. And she said, hug. And that's exactly what I wrote down. Before she ever came in the room, I said, embrace, and I wrote down, hug. Okay? Now listen to me. According to Merriam-Webster, that's absolutely correct. All right? The word embrace, when you think about it, it's to take one into the arms and squeeze into the bosom. Right? So when you think of embrace, maybe you think of that warm, fuzzy, hugging feeling, right? And that's fine, but here's what's really cool. There's another definition for the word embrace, and here it is. It is to take in and to absorb readily and gladly. To take in and absorb readily and gladly. So in the context of this passage, when you say, Brother Jeff, what do you mean embrace the Lord's word into my heart and into my life? What are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. I want you to be in God's word, and I want you to be readily in it and gladly in it, and I want God's word to be in you. Because here's the truth. When you leave this place and you try to have lunch together, moms, guess what's fixing to happen? You're fixing to get squeezed. And it may not be that warm, huggy, fuzzy feeling kind of squeeze. You're going to get squeezed with pressure from your children because they don't want to eat that. Or they don't want to go to that restaurant. They want to go to this one. You're fixing to get squeezed, Mama. Right? And listen, you do a lot of squeezing at the sink with that sponge, don't you? Here's the thing. Whatever you dip that sponge into is what it's filled with. And guess what happens? When you squeeze that sponge, whatever's in it is what's coming out. Whatever's in it is what's coming. Whatever has been absorbed into that sponge, when it gets squeezed, that's what's coming out. And moms, I know you're getting squeezed in this life. And it ain't always comfortable. It ain't always fun. You're getting squeezed in this life. You're getting squeezed at home. You're getting squeezed at school. You're getting squeezed in the workplace. You're getting squeezed in this world. And here's what I know. If you truly want to glorify God, it starts with your devotion to Him. Devote yourself to Him. Give yourself up to Him. Know who He is. Know who you are in Him. And then embrace the Lord's word in you. So that when you're squeezed in this world, that is what comes out. Pastor Joby Martin, I love Pastor Joby Martin. I listen to him all the time. Here's what he says. You might say, well, Brother Jeff, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like the Lord. How do I do that? Then you be in his word. Pastor Joby Martin says this, if you want to know more about the Lord, then you have to know more of his word, because he reveals himself in his word, because he is the word who became flesh. That's pretty good. People tell me all the time, I just want to be more like Jesus. If you want to be more like Jesus, then be in his word and let his word be in you. If you want to be more like Jesus, then be in his word. People say, well, I get to hear the word in Sunday school. I get to hear the word on Sunday morning. Listen to me. If you don't bring your Bible and look at it for yourself, how do you know Brother Jeff's telling you the truth? Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm a liar. That may shock you, but it don't shock my family. And it don't shock my previous Sunday school teachers and people that have known me. Listen to me. I'm capable of lying. Is anybody else in here capable of lying? You better put your eyes on it. You better look and see what God's word says, because I'm very capable of messing it up intentionally and sometimes unintentionally. You need to be in God's word, and God's word needs to be in you. If you want to glorify God, moms, today, you have to do it by being devoted to him, and you have to embrace his word in your heart. And then I love this. This is so important. It's really the key. Hey, mom, impress the Lord's word upon your children. Impress the Lord's word upon your children. That word impress, it doesn't just mean, hey, look at me, right? So I thought about that. If I were to say the word impress, what do you think? Most of the time, people have a negative, you know, connotation of that word impress. It means somebody's trying to do something to stand out and say, look at me. And that's true. Right? That is one form of the word impress. However, here's the real word, right? The word that we're looking at today. It actually means to affect or to impact others deeply. It means to mark with pressure. Sorry, kids. Okay? This is what I can't make this up. Okay? This is what it means. It means to mark with pressure or stamping. It means to transfer. Now, there were times when my mom had to make certain kind of impressions on me, right? Like the times when she had to squeeze my arm, right? And I looked down and I saw her fingerprints all over me, right? And I'm thankful that she didn't have long nails, because them things probably would have dug in. So you moms that have them long nails, just be careful, okay? But I know we can think about all kinds of ways, right? And listen to me. Sometimes, mamas, you got to do that, okay? Because what my mama started, my wife's still trying to accomplish. She has to grab a hold and try to impress upon me too, okay? But let's go in a different direction, right? Let's focus on God's word. Hey, moms, impress the Lord's word that is in you and that you are in. Impress them upon your children. Transfer them to your children. You know, when Moses was writing this, most theologians believe that Moses would have had an image in his mind, and it would have been an image of an engraver, one who is using a hammer and a chisel and driving it into stone, right? Slabs of stone. Moses knew what it meant to truly impress the word upon children. It would have to be painstaking, and it would have to be consistent. It wasn't something that would be done all of a sudden. It was something that would have to be done over time, and it would have to be continued. It would have to be painstaking and consistent. So moms, no matter how painstaking it may be, right? And no matter how much those children may test your consistency, do it. Do it. It will make a difference. Not just in your life, but in their lives. It'll make a difference in your home. He said this. He said to talk about it in the inactivity. What is that? When did he say talk about it? Talk when you're sitting down. When you're sitting down, whether at the table, in the living room, in the car, talk about it. Talk about the word of the Lord in your inactivity. Then he said talk about it in your activity. He said when you're walking around. When you're walking around, when you're walking out of your house and into the store or out into the field, talk about the Word of God. He said to talk about it when? When you get up and when you go back down, right? Talk about the Word of the Lord any and every opportunity that you get with your children. Do you know what he meant? What he meant was he wanted the Word of the Lord to be in you, right? Embrace it, right? Devote yourself to it so that when you're having conversations, so that when you're living life with your children, it's just pouring out. It's just pouring out. What's in you is what's going to be poured out. And it encompasses every part of your being. Every part of your being. Of course, in Moses' time, I looked this up, did some research. In Moses' time, putting the words on their hands and on their foreheads was meant to be symbolic. But later on, and you can certainly see it in the New Testament because Jesus, he points it out, they took that literally. And you know what they did? They took the word, wrote it down, and they put it in these little boxes called phylacteries. And they tied it on their wrists. And there were some who actually bound it on their foreheads. And in the New Testament, you can see it. It said for it to be in between their eyes. Right? But again, I'm not going to go literally with that. Okay? Here it is. If it's in your heart, if it's in your heart, the heart is the center of your being. It's not just this muscle in your chest pumping blood. The heart is the core of who you are. I love this. It's the core of who you are. It feeds everything else that you are. You're physical. Listen to me. Moses said, right, devote yourselves to the Lord. How? With all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul, all of your strength. Listen, when they asked Jesus, I've already referred to this, it's in the Gospels. When they asked Jesus, hey, what's the greatest command? Do you know when Moses gave this? He gave this after what was known as the Ten Commandments. Let me ask you a question. When they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Did he mention any of the Ten Commandments? No. You know what he mentioned? He mentioned the Shema. And he mentioned this very first verse in the Shema, which is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul. That's what Jesus said. And so moms, today, we want you. We want you to glorify God. We need you to glorify God. And listen, I know I'm talking to moms because it's Mother's Day, but if you're in this room and you hear my voice, this applies to you too. Whether you're a father or a child, whether you're a church member or not a church member, we need to devote ourselves to the Lord. We need to embrace the Word of the Lord in our hearts, and we need to impress the Word of the Lord upon our children. It's a difference maker. And so listen, my encouragement to you today, moms, my challenge to you today is three words: devote, embrace, impress. Devote, embrace, impress. And I love this. Dr. Tony Evans, you know, when we think about church, we think about the place where they teach the Word of God and they do this for the children. Listen, we got an incredible children's ministry. I love our children's ministry. We got an incredible student ministry. I love our student ministry. But listen to Dr. Tony Evans, because I'm challenging you, moms. I'm not just encouraging you, but I'm challenging you. Listen to what Dr. Tony Evans says. He says, the responsibility to train up our children does not rest on our government. Praise God for that. That's a whole nother sermon. Anyway, he says, the responsibility to train up our children does not rest on our government. It does not rest upon our schools. It even ultimately does not rest upon our church. The family carries the primary responsibility for passing along the torch of faith as the church supports them in their work. So, mom, today, I encourage you with the Word of God. I want the Word of God to be in you, and I want the Word of God to be impressed upon your children, absolutely. But here's the thing. As a church, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to take over your role, because we can't. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to support you in your role. We're going to support you in your role. And we're going to be here to love you and encourage you, but we're also going to be here to challenge you. And so I want to say this, right? I want to say this in closing. Number one, hey, moms, we thank God for you. We do. I knew today that we were going to be honoring moms, but you know what? I started last Sunday. When I prayed, I was like, God, I'm not waiting to Mother's Day. Thank you for my mom. Thank you for the bonus moms I've had in my life, my mother-in-law, my Aunt Nancy, my grandmothers. Some of you in this room have treated me as a child. You've been a bonus mom to me. I thank God for my wife, who is the mom of our children. I started that last week just every day intentionally saying, God, thank you. Thank you for mom. I also said, I love them. So moms, we thank God for you. Moms, we love you. And I'm encouraging all of you today as children, right? Maybe your mom's not with you today. Maybe your mom has gone on to be with the Lord. Maybe you're separated from your mom because of work and moving off location, whatever, right? Here's the thing. You can go to God and say thank you. You can go to God and say thank you for mom. You can go to God and say, I love my mom. You can say that out loud in your prayer. But if you have the opportunity and your mom can hear your voice, preferably see your face, tell them you thank God for them. Tell them you love them. And don't just do it on May 12th, 2024. I challenge you, wake up tomorrow and tell God, thank you for mom. I love my mom. And like I said earlier, I don't know what that relationship looks like. Some of you in this room, you may be in what's called a broken relationship right now with your birth mom or your stepmom or your bonus mom. Don't forget what I said earlier. God's grace is greater. God's grace is greater. He can give you the grace to forgive just as His grace forgives you. He can give you grace to do what's ever necessary to give Him glory. Moms, again, thank you, and we love you. And I hope this passage of Scripture encourages you today. And like I said earlier, you may be in this place, and you may say, Brother Jeff, I have not devoted myself to the Lord. I have not embraced the words of the Lord in my heart, and so I have not been able to impress them on my children because I don't have that. Let me tell you something, you can. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that Jesus Christ was God's Son, that He lived perfectly, that He died on the cross for our sins, that He rose from the grave to defeat sin and death. The Bible says that we are all guilty of sin and that the wages of our sin is death. It means to be separated from God, broken fellowship, broken relationship. And it says, but God, Romans 5:8, but God. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So let me tell you how you can devote yourself to the Lord. You repent of your sin. Repentance means I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. I know that. He is God. I am not. He created me in His image. He created me for Him. I haven't lived that way, but I want to. So I turn from my sin. I repent of my sin, and I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that He lived perfectly, died sacrificially, rose victoriously. I put my faith in Him. And the Bible says when you confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, the Bible says you will be saved. You'll be in right relationship with God. And when you're in right relationship with God, when the verticality is right, guess what? The horizontal part gets a chance to be right too. And so that's my prayer. If you're in this place today, I hope everybody that walks out of here is a believer in Jesus Christ. I do. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's my prayer. And like I said, moms, if you walk out of here in broken relationship with God, it's not my fault. That's a choice you're making. Moms, if you walk out of here today and you carry that failure with you, that's a choice that you're making. Because the Bible says, cast all of your anxiety on me because I care for you. That's God. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. In other words, God says, give it to me. Give it to me. Why would you walk out of here feeling like a failure? Why would you walk out of here in broken fellowship and broken relationship when you don't have to? Moms, I thank God for you and I love you, but I thank God for you and love you too much to let you just walk out of here the same. So my prayer is that you hear God's word today. Right? The Shema, to hear, to listen. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your strength, and all of your soul. And you are to embrace that in your heart, and you are to impress that upon your children. So go. Go and do that. And this church will be a better place because of it. This community will be a better place because of it. And most importantly, your home. Your home will be a better place because of it. And ultimately, what did I say? It's about glorifying who? God. How can you glorify God? Deuteronomy 6:4-9.